So it is 30th of November 2014. I'm here with Mr. Philip Ranko in Nikolai, Alaska. So I'd like to ask him about his knowledge about dog mushing and traditional knowledge from Nikolai, Alaska. Can I ask you some questions?
Sure.
So I'd like to start out with a self-introduction. Can you introduce yourself briefly?
Yeah, my name's Phil Runkle, born and raised in Alaska, from Nikolai. Good to be here.
So, can you explain your dog mushing experience?
Let's see. When I was about 7 years old, we had a dog named Striker. She was a black lab, and that was actually like the first time I got out on dog sled, just having her pull me around town. And just a few years ago, we got into the dog mushing again. About 20, 25 years ago here in Nikolai, there was probably about 18 to 20 dog teams, and now there's no dog teams here at all for the most part. I mean, there are a couple of folks that still take a few dogs out here and there, but definitely not the same numbers that there used to be. Only because, it's just taking care of dogs out here in the rural area is very, you got to put a lot of time and effort into it. It's pretty expensive out here as well. So there's a lot of subsistence that goes into just providing food for your dogs.
What kind of food do you feed to the dogs?
Well, we feed them quite a bit of chum salmon, dog salmon, and other types of fish that we get in the nets from the river. That's a big part of it. And then also we s accept people in Nikolai. We get quite a bit of support from the town. People will give us scraps and things like that during the hunting season, things they'd r normally throw away. So we end up getting a lot of things during the moose hunting season, or folks actually end up giving us fish as well.
So, how about other kind of animals, like bears or other animals?
We do get bear meat from time to time. It just depends. That it's definitely a good fatty meat, depending on the bear. We also feed beaver to the dogs too. That's really high fat content right there. We do a lot of trapping. So yeah, we when we actually get the beavers, we'll save most of the carcass and the tail and whatnot. But we also eat beaver too. So we gotta save a couple, put a couple on the side for ourselves there.
Yeah, so do you think that the traditional food is better for the dogs than the commercially manufactured food, or what do you think?
I think a good mixture between the two. Definitely, you're getting like the organic meats and the fish and whatnot in there, which is just awesome if you can do that. And then some of these other dog foods I would say is a necessity for the type of effort and exercise these dogs are putting into the runs. I mean, if a dog is running 30 miles a day, that's a lot of calories. They're using up a lot of calories, burning a lot of fat. So some of these dog foods you'll get is like 40 20 30 40. It's a protein to fat ratio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're high in protein and fat.
So how many pounds a dog eats for a day? Any
Oh, for a
idea?
day? Well, it depends. If a dog's just kind of, hanging out in the yard or whatnot, they get a couple of scoops of dog food, depending on what it is we're cooking for them, or if they're just getting snacked. Out on the trail though, when we're running, you snack them every hour or so, depending on how they're running. I might just give them a little slab of fish or something, or some type of fat. And then when we get to where we're actually staying, they get fed again with the dog food, the Friskies. It just really depends on how much you're running them though.
So, have you been on the dog mushing race?
I have not done any races, actually. I look forward to racing in the future. Definitely, I want to say I'm not completely at that part of my dog mushing career yet. But yeah, hopefully I'll get another year or two in there, and I do want to pursue some races in the future.
So what kind of things do you do to help your parents talk with? What kind of a walk routine?
Well, we got to get wood for the dog cooker. So you're cutting and chopping wood. And also, out in the dog yard, you know, you have 20 dogs. They're all eating. You know, they all got to use the bathroom. So you got to get out there and scoop the yard, clean up the yard. Make sure they got enough hay or straw. You know, it's been fairly warm for the most part. We haven't really had any snow, except just for, you know, the last few days we've finally been getting some snow and it's starting to cool down a little more. Probably end up going out there today, actually, and probably re-straw the dogs. Then just making sure that the equipment as well, or just even the buckets and things that we use for feeding the dogs, are clean.
So what kind of things do people in Nicola use dogs for other than dog mushing?
Well, folks have house dogs like anywhere else, but then during the hunting season and things like that, it's good to have dogs around the camp. You know, if you're going if you're out at your hunting camp and you leave on a day trip, maybe you'll leave your dog at the camp, you know, to keep away bears or other animals and things like that. Up in the mountains, when we're doing our hunting, we actually have one dog that we use for tracking animals if an animal is wounded. So we'll do that from time to time.
Do you know how to train the dogs to be able to track in the animals?
I got a rough idea of it. It's not down to a science or anything, but... yeah, you just got to put a lot of time and effort into the training, for sure.
What kind of things do you do, you know?
Well, definitely, taking your dog out on, what would I call it, game trails, where animals frequent, you know, that area. That, and, you know, when you bring in a moose or a bear or something like that, you know, definitely get the dog familiar with the scent and whatnot. Yeah, just a couple other little tricks that probably keep to myself on that one. Yeah.
So I know your grandpa Philip is a really good dog musher too. So can you tell me about your grandpa Philip, and what kind of things do you remember about him?
Oh, he. Well, I never really got to see him dog mush. I've heard stories. I've definitely heard stories, but. He was definitely a mountain man. He grew up in the mountains and around here in Nicolai, and he's been all over the Alaska Range. But he was strong guy. When we'd go sheep hunting, he would definitely be up there with us during the hike and the climb, or he'd be ahead of us while smoking a Marlboro Red. Yeah, definitely knew a lot of old tricks and things like that of the land, and I learned a lot from him.
Do you have any specific example about the traditional beliefs that he told you?
Ooh, well, I know a lot. I guess I'd have to think about that for a bit.
Your brother told me that if you eat sheep, you get thirsty, or that kind of stuff that I was thinking about.
Oh, okay, yeah, there is the somewhat of a superstition that eating sheep meat kind of makes you thirsty, but in a sense, yeah, I mean, they're up there and they don't drink a lot of water is what I've been told, and the meat, yeah, it's kind of just dehydrates you, but yeah, I think that's definitely opinion on that.
So some people say your great-grandpa, Grimman, was a medicine man. What kind of things do you know about him as a medicine man, if you have any idea?
I actually don't know too much about that. I had heard that, but I never really had any long conversations or anything about that. I've definitely been interested in it, but it never really was a topic that I ended up bringing up to my grandparents.
Yeah, so what kind of things can a medicine man do? Do you have any idea?
I don't. I've heard superstition. Them going on like walkabouts out into the forest and whatnot on their own. I've never really heard too much about what they could do. I imagine they're very in tune with the land.
Are you saying that they walk into the wood by himself?
Yeah, definitely long extended periods of time out in the forest by themselves and whatnot.
So where do they get the power from? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I don't know how that actually happens, how one is, a medicine man, or how that's decided.
Do you know any other medicine man other than your great-grandpa?
I had heard of stories from, one other person a long time ago. I used to live in Nikolai. Was like, I don't know, I had heard stories of something like that, and also at a different trading post, there was a medicine man there, but no, not really. It's not something you hear about too much. Yeah,
I heard that the dreams are important in the Athabaskan culture. Do you know any example of dreams that people talk about?
Yeah, I've heard about the dreams, and my grandparents would talk about it too. Like, they'd have dreams about certain things, like, oh, I've been worrying about you, I had a dream about you, and like, oh, okay, yeah. I don't personally have any examples other than that, but my grandparents definitely, they talked about dreams quite a bit.
Have you heard any traditional stories of animals?
Of animals? Yeah.
Do you remember any specific one?
Well, relating to an animal, like, don't fall asleep in a bear den because you'll wake up in the spring. And I've heard that. Let's see, if you're going down your trap line and you see an owl on a pile of snow in the middle of the trail, you might be coming in and do a bunch of money or a large sum of money. That's a superstition. Let's see. Yeah. I know, there's just a bunch of random, different stories here and there. Yeah, I can't think of anything now off the top of my head.
Yeah, so can you tell me about the hairy man?
Hairy man. I've heard of it growing up in the mountain, well, near the mountains, with the hunting camp and whatnot. And when we were up there, my grandparents would talk about the mountain man. And I've heard stories of them eating sheep and things like that. I've never personally met anyone that's seen a hairy man or woodsman or anything. I've seen some strange things out in the woods, like where you think no one is, definitely not anywhere near, like out there, and you find just strange things, like, huh, I wonder how an animal would have done that. But nothing too crazy.
So can you tell me about the hill people?
Oh, the hill people? Mountain people? Just kind of like, they're small mountain people that live up in the hills, and I guess they can be give you fortune maybe or favor, or they could be bad as well, I guess, just depending on if you're on their good side or their bad side. That's kind of how I was told about it. Yeah, when we were out in the field, there was someone that used to put out like dry fish or things, you know, when we were out on a hunt. I asked him why he did that, and he was just kind of like, you know, just asking for a favor, you know, or help or something along those lines. You know, like, yeah, you know, maybe if I leave this here for them, and then they'll kind of bring an animal to us or give us good luck. You know, and I thought about that, and I still think about that. It's definitely, you know, superstition, putting beliefs into that. But it's some interesting to think about, I guess, and wonder if they're really out there, right?
Okay, yeah, thank you very much for asking my questions.
Yeah, thank you for interviewing me.